Shabbat Shalom. However remarkable and disconcerting American Jewry's present circumstance may be, it's not a state of affairs without precedent. One need look no further than this morning's Torah reading to see the very first diaspora Jewish community, that of Joseph and his extended family, negotiate the delicate terms of their existence. Jacob, his sons, and their families arrive in Egypt from Canaan, the first but not final extended stay of Jewish community outside of the Promised Land. One would think that Joseph's rise to power would grant him a certain degree of security, allaying any fears of charges of dual loyalty or being labeled as an outsider. And upon his family's arrival, Joseph carefully scripts his brother, as we heard today, advising them to misrepresent their trade as shepherds in order to secure a more hospitable welcome in their new environs. "You shall tell Pharaoh," Joseph instructs them, "your servants have been cattlemen, for all shepherds are abhorrent to Egyptians." Why, a few verses later, Joseph's brothers ignore Joseph's counsel, we don't know for sure. Perhaps it's because the brothers have learned the hard way the perils of untruth. Perhaps it reflects a folksy naivete in their newfound cosmopolitan setting. Or perhaps, as some commentators say, it's because as Jews raised in their own land, the brothers' concern was not with what their neighbors thought of them. They had a self-esteem and self-assuredness that neither Joseph nor other diaspora Jews could ever possess. What we do know is that it would be in this brief and enigmatic exchange that a dynamic would be set with all its concomitant tensions on life as a diaspora Jew. A balancing act between being loyal to your host country and your ancestral homeland. A balancing act between fulfilling the Abrahamic call to be a blessing to all people and standing vigilant to your parochial well-being. A balancing act between being eyes wide open to one's minority status and be willing to pull on the levers of political power. So many balancing acts, so many hyphens to negotiate, all in the presence of a mercurial pharaoh and the ongoing vicissitudes of diaspora Jewish life. As a liberal Zionist, of late I've found myself returning to the so-called Chinese curse, "May you live in interesting times." To be a patriotic American, to be an ardent Zionist, to be attentive to the condition of the stranger in our midst, to believe in the two-state solution, these are values that are givens in my self-definition as an American Jew. Indeed, the most interesting thing about publicly affirming these values individually and collectively is a painful realization that such a patently obvious set of values is in need of affirmation. And yet here we are, living in interesting times. American Jews living in the narrow straits between two administrations, witness to dramatic events impacting Israel, engaging what I believe to be a massive values clarification regarding our commitments as Americans, as Zionists, and as historic champions of prophetic causes. The liberal Zionist community, of which I consider myself a proud, card-carrying member, is being forced to ask whether it can, at one and the same time, keep its value system intact, or is it time, as some would counsel, to discard our liberalism or our Zionism for fear that holding loyal to one value precludes the possibility of holding fast to another. Let me break it down. As any recent study of American Jewry will attest, the majority of American Jews, A, are committed towards working towards justice and equality, B, believe in the two-state solution, and C, voted for Hillary Clinton. The fact of Donald Trump's election has prompted a soul-searching journey for this said majority of American Jews. On the one hand, the incoming administration's fervent support for Israel would be, one would think, a cause for celebration. And yet, as we know, any such jubilation has been, for at least one of two reasons, altogether muted. First, the fact that the incoming administration has thus far signaled itself to stand in opposition to a series of progressive values, including but not limited to immigration, healthcare reform, and gun control, not to mention ongoing concerns regarding its inability to disassociate itself from the alt-right, anti-Semitic, and otherwise unseemly elements of our nation. This is the hand that American Jewry has been dealt. The same administration that views Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel, the same administration suspect of the Iran deal, is the same administration whose public tweets stand in opposition to the progressive civic religion of American Jews. How can I, asks the liberal Zionist, support this agenda? How can I not? It's a disorienting state of affairs for American Jewry, to say the least. Second, of course, is the fact that for progressively minded Zionists, our love for Israel is not the same as blanket support for every policy of Israel's government. There are times, be it matters of religious pluralism, a subject to which I'll turn to next week, or in the case of the last few weeks, the settlements, that American Jews believe that the present policies of the Israeli government run counter to the long-term interests of Israel. I personally found the 1-2 combination of America's abstention at the UN and Secretary Kerry's speech to be deeply problematic. A public breach between allies in a hostile UN context, an alarming, untrue, and hypocritical condemnation of Israel as a primary obstacle to peace, while Aleppo burns, Libya unravels, Iran and Russia destabilize their regions, and most importantly, a Palestinian leadership that has yet to perform the basic act of recognizing Israel's right to exist. A last-minute and reckless gambit that will result in a hardening, not softening, of positions. And yet, there remains the simple reality that the settlements are an obstacle to a two-state solution. So for those who believe that a two-state solution is in Israel's, the Palestinians, and the world's best interest, how exactly is one able to oppose settlement expansion without being labeled anti-Israel? In the mind of the liberal Zionist, criticism of Israeli policy in the territories by American Jewry or even by the American administration can be an expression of love for Israel and not, as some would argue, a betrayal of the Jewish people. As the Lubavitcher Rebbe once said, a blessing with advice is always better than one without advice. Liberal Zionists are caught between a rock and a hard place, forced to choose between writing Israel a blank moral check or being labeled anti-Israel, or even worse, a self-hating anti-Semitic Jew. It's a terrible choice that has left a large segment of American Jewry reeling. And the other end of the political spectrum, mind you, is just as prickly. As the liberal left has co-opted the cause of the Palestinians, American Jews have found themselves unwilling or unable to find common cause with the historic allies of their progressive sensibilities. The decision of the Black Lives Movement to use language of apartheid and genocide in reference to Israel prompted appropriate outrage by the liberal branches of American Jewry. With banners proclaiming Ferguson to Palestine, occupation is a crime, is it any wonder that of late Jews have been keeping an arm's length from progressive causes? In speaking to the leadership of one of the Jewish community's most progressive organizations, I asked why it was that they were not listed as a co-sponsor of the upcoming Women's March in DC. My colleague explained to me that they could not predict what was going to be said or done that day, and they simply could not risk being a co-sponsor to an event when an Israeli flag might be burned or worse. From the left, from the right, it's an awkward time to be a liberal Zionist, to be both liberal and a Zionist, at one and the same time. In the waning days of one administration and in the run-up to another, a significant percentage of American Jewry anxiously seeking to get a foothold in uncertain and shifting terrain. This is the hand we've been dealt. These are the times in which we live. In the face of such developments, it would be altogether understandable were the liberal Zionist community to grant itself a time out, to tread lightly and proceed with caution. There's too much uncertainty. The landscape and leadership is in flux. Now is the time to lay low on the battlefield. Discretion, we may tell ourselves, is the better part of valor. And because such a response is so understandable, perhaps even to be expected, today I want to share with you my belief that keeping quiet is exactly the thing that we should not do. Here and now, as positions are being staked out, on the left and on the right, as Jews, as Americans, as Zionists, and otherwise, now is precisely the time to mark out the territory of the sane center and have our voices be heard. Now is not the time to stand down. Now is the time to double down. As a discourse is being set, as decisions being made, now is the time to make our case known. In word and in deed, liberal Zionists must flatly reject the contention that it's somehow a contradiction to be both liberal and a Zionist. Like-minded communities, ours included, must disabuse the world of its mistaken belief that to be for a two-state solution is to be anti-Israel. 50 years after 67, as annexation legislation is being forwarded in the Knesset, as shifts in American politics serve to embolden the Israeli right, now is the time for our voices to be heard. Likewise, at the very moment that Israel sits unfairly in the dock of world opinion, now is the time for the liberal Zionist community to be most vocal in its support for Israel. I want every justice-loving, left-leaning, rights-giving, BDS-thinking, progressive organization to know that Israel is the first, last, and best hope for liberal democracy in the Middle East. Its imperfections, whatever they may be, both on an absolute and relative basis, are the finest expression of, not antithetical to, progressive values. Liberal Zionists must reaffirm our commitment to the prophetic and progressive causes that have been our historic patrimony. We must do so because the measure of our principles is not found in their convenience, but rather in moments in which they are tested. We must do so because we dare not allow it to happen that Israel ceases being a liberal democracy, ceases being a state both Jewish and democratic on our watch. Most of all, liberal Zionists must quickly and confidently find their stride because the values for which we stand are just, are worth defending, and will prove to be the glue that keeps American Jewry together, Israel together, and the all-important bond between the two. To repackage Ben-Gurion, we must defend Israel as if there were no settlements, and we must advocate for a two-state solution as if there was no UN. Will there be people who label liberal Zionists as misguided? Of course. Liberal Zionism isn't easy. Liberal Zionism is advanced citizenship. You gotta want it bad. But given the choice between my liberalism and my Zionism, I choose to reject the choice as a false one, fight for what I believe in, and let the chips fall where they may. The enduring image from this week's Haftorah is that of the prophet picking up two sticks from the ground, bringing them close to each other and joining them together in a single hand, an act meant to symbolize the unification of that which would otherwise stand apart. Ours is a time, too, when we must likewise grasp onto that which others would have us believe to be incompatible, declare it to be otherwise, and then live our lives proving the naysayers wrong. My love for Israel, my love for the Jewish people, my love for humanity is simply too strong to leave it to others to sit this round or any round out. The heroic calling of our hour implores us to draw near, not walk away from the principles we hold dear. May we rise to this calling, support and defend those who would do the same, and together labor towards building a future befitting of our highest hopes for us, for our children, and grandchildren. Shabbat Shalom.